Welcome to you all, and a pleasure to see some of your faces who I've been seeing fairly regularly on my quad check-ins when I'm on, and the previous webinars, and also I think some faces I haven't seen for quite a while. So nice to see you again, and of course behind some screens, some of you who've preferred to be behind your names. Nice to see you there as well. And so, yeah, curiosity. And you'll see that photograph of me on page 3 of your workbook. And I wasn't able to get hold of the uniform this evening, but I am wearing this shirt as being the closest color that I could come to, that could find for appearing similarly. And then when we move into having an experience of this mysterious elevator shortly, if you want to imagine me, and when you hear my voice, you'll have your eyes closed. If you'd like to imagine me in that bellboy's uniform, it might help you to engage. However, to come back to the elevator, and I guess given that it used to be taught on the process once upon a time when we the process ran for 8 days, and I know that so some of you who are on this call might have done your process when the elevator was a part of the process, and others of you may have experienced it, may have learned it in support groups here and there, or on the virtual graduate intensive. So I guess just to ask, just for a show of hands, of how many of you have previously experienced the elevator? 1, 2, 3, 4, okay, a few. So thank you. And I'll take your presence on this webinar as being evidence that you've enjoyed it so much that you'd like to revisit it and to get some more information from it. And so I guess, you know, one of the really fundamental things to say about the elevator is that it's another very valuable tool of awareness. And as we put in the wording to let you know what the webinar and the elevator is about, it is very specifically about getting more information about patterns of behavior which may be having an impact on particular situations in your life. And I guess just with the workbook that you were sent, if you haven't got it printed off, just to make sure that you have some blank paper to write on, because you will be doing some writing. And so, yeah, if you don't have it printed off, then please do have some blank paper. And I guess just to ask whether any of you have had a look at the workbook, whether you've opened it up and had a look inside it yet. Yeah, one or two of you. Okay, so not a lot of you, just to get a bit of a sense. Okay, and so the fundamental principle, and I guess repeating that, you know, very often there are, and I'll also talk about my own experience from the process, because it may well resonate a little bit with you, is that coming out of the process and having had that experience of identifying patterns of behavior, having done something about them, all the different stages, having forgiven my mum and dad and had compassion for them, that I kind of got a certainly came out with a sense of, well, everything's going to be really different now. I was on a high of thinking that, yeah, fundamentally everything's going to be completely changed and it's all going to be fine. And of course, I then realized after a fairly short period of time what I had been told on my process, which is this is the beginnings of doing things differently. You know, it's not just a magic fix. And therefore, I did come to realize that although, I mean, certainly in terms of for me, what were significant situations were my ability to be in relationship. I mean, certainly the patterns of behavior that I had around fear of commitment and fear of intimacy were quite strong, and therefore as habits they did continue for a little while. But what I then came to realize, having experienced this particular tool, the elevator, on the process, that it did, I think I probably caught up with it again 2 or 3 weeks after the process of realizing that, okay, here are, you know, there are a number of situations in my life, relationships being one and also work being another, that issues I had around both of those, that while I had addressed what I perceived to be quite a lot of the key patterns involved in my difficulties, I was realizing there was still, yeah, some things I wasn't very clear about. And therefore, I use the elevator to get more information about specific patterns that were having an impact on certainly relationships, work, but also another key area for me was my vision for what I wanted in my life. And the little while it seemed to take to really kind of get closer to what it is that I wanted, what it get closer to what I wanted and what I saw in my vision. And so really, yeah, I wanted to reinforce kind of as we go into this experience, just how valuable it can be. And just for a moment, I mean, just to the way that we ask questions in the elevator is very much going into the experience with a particular question in mind. And it's a question which doesn't have a yes or no answer. And very specifically, the question always begins along one of these two ways. What are the unidentified patterns that, well, one example here, what are the unidentified patterns that stand in the way of my achieving my vision? And you'll see a list, if you'd like to have a look at page 3, if you... The first page with print on is headed the elevator question. And these are the kinds of questions that you might ask. And so as you have a look through there, you might pick out one or two areas that are, you know, very significant for you. And there were a couple of other ones that struck me as, which aren't on this particular list, which may, and you may want to write this down or see how it sounds, whether it's something which is relevant for you. One of them is, what are the unidentified patterns that get in the way of connecting to my spiritual self? That might be one that has relevance to some of you. And then another one, and this is one that has come up a couple of times recently with people that I've spoken to. What are the patterns that get in the way of forgiving my mother or my father? So if there's any unfinished business that you are recognizing there, that you may be still carrying some resentment towards one or other of your parents, then that may be a relevant question for you. But then there are a whole lot of different examples in that list. And so what I'd like you to do really is to have a good look at that list and see which one, maybe there's a couple that stand out for you, but to ask you to choose one in particular. Or there may be something else which isn't included in this list, which is of relevance to you. And so in a few minutes, we're going to be going into the experience. And I wonder if any of you, firstly, would, if any particular questions that come up for you at this stage, and there'll certainly be time for questions later on, but also to ask if any of you would be willing to let us to share the question that you're going to ask, both from the point of view of getting a sense of some of the questions that you are going to be asking, or if it's one that isn't on the list, just to make sure that the phrasing is as accurate as it can be, if you need some help with phrasing it. So, yeah, just to leave it open for a moment or two, is there anybody who would like to share?
Jeremy, could you read a couple of questions out just for those who don't have the workbook?
Yes. Oh, righto. Yeah. So some of the other questions might be, what are the unidentified patterns that keep me from creating a fulfilling, healthy, loving relationship? What are the unidentified patterns that limit my experience of my sensuality and sexuality? What patterns drive my anxiety when I talk to my boss? And I see here's one about the spiritual self is here in the list. What are the unidentified patterns that keep me from hearing and trusting my spiritual self, which is a slightly different take on the example that I gave before. And what else would there be? I mean, it's even down, there's some examples at the bottom here. You know, what are the patterns that were triggered at lunchtime today with my friend or my husband or my partner, my wife? So a whole range. What's one other one that stands out here? What patterns drive me to continually look for what's negative in my spouse? You know, so is that a sufficient number of examples? Is anybody who would like to hear some more examples? So fundamentally, what are the unidentified patterns that are holding me back from? So would anybody like to, again, open the possibilities, anybody like to ask a question or just to check on the question that they're asking?
Hi, Jeremy. How are you?
Hiya. Hi. Well, thank you.
Well, I would like to know what are the unidentified patterns that stand between me and between moving forward with my plans, because I have plans, you know, to move out, and I know that I want to do it, and but there is something in me that is unmotivated, not going with it, not doing, and I'm not aware of which pattern.
Sure.
It is. So yeah. That's the question.
Okay, so that sounds like an ideal question, and you know, the way that you'll find that the elevator works is that it's fundamentally another way of bypassing the intellect, because you know, most, we probably spend a lot of time, and I'm hearing that perhaps you spend time trying to answer that question with your intellect, trying to work it out. And therefore, yeah, great, just to have that question and see where we go with it when we get to the experience. But thank you for raising that. Thank you. Anybody else like to share theirs or ask any questions?
Jeremy, can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Where is Kate? Like, what's the symbolism or the meaning of the elevator? Because otherwise I'm going to be, I haven't quite understood. Is it like an elevator pitch or do you just like...
I suppose it's, we use the word elevator because it comes from the US, but actually it's a lift. So yeah, it's simply...
I get that, but how does that connect with the process bit of it? Is it like you're in a confined space or that you have to think of something quickly or you're going up?
No, I think, it is going to be an experience of being in an elevator and of going down in an elevator and coming out into a scene. And you'll have plenty of time to have the experience. Is that sufficient information, Kate?
Okay.
Yeah. You're willing to give it a go?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, great. Thank
can
you.
Can I ask? Should we just have one question?
Yes, absolutely. So thank you for asking that. So absolutely, just having one question, and then you'll have the experience, and you'll be able to use it on other questions. Anybody else that needs?
So Jeremy, there was a question that in the comments.
Yeah.
About if the patterns are unidentified, how do we know what they are?
They are, the intention is that they will be identified through the experience. And so they are currently unidentified. If that's a sufficient explanation of it, they are currently unidentified and the intention of the experience that you're going to have is that you'll be able to identify them.
So the important thing is to have the question, is that right, before you go in the lift?
Yes.
Correct.
Yes. And so what is your question, if you'd be willing to share it?
Very close to your first one, which is about the plans and the ambitions and something continually holding them back.
Okay. And so always beginning with, what are the unidentified patterns? That's a really crucial part of the experience. And in fact, what I'd like you to do now, please, is to turn over the page onto page 3. And at the top of the page, you'll find a place to write down the question. So you may have asterisked it or written it on page 2, but just to ask you now to write it at the top of page 3.
So other ones that we've got while people are
and
writing.
And if you don't have the workbook printed off, yeah, if you can just write down your question at the top of a blank page.
So some of the questions are, what are the unidentified patterns that get in the way of my connecting with my feelings?
Yep.
That's one person.
Thank you.
Another one has written, what are the unidentified patterns that get in the way of me having compassion for my mother?
Yep.
Someone else has written, what are the unidentified patterns that stop me developing my creativity? So yep. As Jeremy said, very specific.
And very specific with the focus on what are the patterns? What are the patterns that are unidentified? So very much reinforcing is not a yes or no answer, and just having that curiosity. So if you've got your question written down on the top of page 3, if I can ask you to close your eyes. And Derek, just seeing your question there, just to ask that you put, what are the unidentified patterns which cause me to slip back into my negative patterns? So very much looking for the patterns involved. Does that make sense, Derek? So just need some clarity. I see you're nodding your head. I'm not sure if that's from side to side. But it is, I mean, I hear what you're saying. Would it be appropriate for you to say, what are the unidentified patterns that cause me to continually slip into negativity? Yeah, okay. And so, yeah, with your eyes closed, feeling comfortable. And imagine that you're standing on the top of a building. A very tall building. And you see in front of you a little building, just a very small building on the top of this building, and you walk towards it and you realize that it's the opening to a lift, an elevator. And yeah, you see it there and you're kind of curious enough to go inside. And that's when you really realize that you're in a lift. And you see the panel where the buttons are, but there's only one button there. And on that button is written your question. What are the patterns that I've not yet identified, and whatever follows? And you see that written on the button. And then with a real curiosity, I'd like you to do this with your hands so that you really have a sense of putting your finger out and pressing your finger on that button, the button that has your question on it. And as you do so, the doors close and the lift, the elevator, starts to go down. And just feeling it going down and down and down through a number of levels, keeping on going. And then finally, it comes to a halt. And the doors open and you walk out into a scene. In your imagination, in your mind's eye, see yourself walking out into a scene. And it may be a scene that you're familiar with, a scene that you've experienced in your life, in your childhood or in your adulthood. Or it might be an imaginary scene. So just allow whatever's there to be there. And notice how you feel. And as you look around, what do you see? And if at the moment there's darkness, then reach out your hand and a torch is put into your hand and you can turn the torch on and have a look around. And so just look and see what's there. And notice how you feel as you look at what's going on there. And if there are other people there, notice what they're doing. Notice how you feel towards them. Notice what you're thinking. And going out into the scene and walking around. And again, noticing how you feel. Notice what you're thinking. Notice what's going on. Just allow yourself to experience whatever's there. And all the time checking in with how you're feeling and what you're thinking about what's going on. If there are other people there, perceiving how they feel towards you, noticing how they're behaving towards you. Get an overall sense of the mood in the situation. So how you feel, but also what's the mood that's there. And take in all the details. And then with this scene and all of those details of how you feel, what you're thinking, the general mood, then go back into the elevator again, into the lift. And once again, reaching out your hand and pressing the button that has your question written on it. And the lift goes down again. The lift goes down. And down and down, and then it stops. And you walk out into another scene and notice what's going on here. Notice how you feel. Notice what you see. And what you're thinking about. Notice what the mood is in this scene. And remembering it can be a real scene, an event that's happened in your life, or an imaginary scene. And notice if there are other people there. And if so, how do you perceive them? How do you feel towards them? How do you experience them treating you and feeling towards you? Experience being in that scene, what it's like, how you're feeling. The general mood. And then taking a breath and going back into the elevator and pressing the button which has your question on, and This time it takes you back up again, back up, 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 up to the surface, up to the top of the building where you began. And then as you take another breath, to ask you to open your eyes. And on the sheet of paper on page 3, where it says seen, is to write down the experiences that you had. Write down the experience of how you felt, and the feeling may have begun when you were on your way down in the elevator, if there were some feelings there. And then in the scenes that you experienced, 2 different scenes that you can record separately, writing down the details of what you saw, how you felt, what you were thinking, what the general mood of it was like. And we'll just put on a little bit of background music that may be familiar to you. So do write down all the details. About another 5 minutes or so for this, just making sure you have all the details. Thank you. another couple of minutes. Does anybody need more than that? If you can just stick your thumb up if you'd need more than a couple of minutes. And so I'm just going to give you another instruction now, is to go through what it is you've written down and to put circles around anything that shows it's something which you were doing, anything which is about how you were feeling, anything about what you were thinking, and anything that relates to mood. So this is another step along the way to getting the answers that you need, but just a step.
Jeremy, can you say them again? So thinking.
So things that, yeah, thinking, any thought, feeling. Thinking, any feelings. Any actions, anything which maybe represents a mood, and also perhaps any admonitions, anything about perhaps where you were being told what to do or a feeling that you were.
Thanks.
Welcome. So another minute or so. Does anybody need more time beyond a minute to go through what you've written? And it may not make a lot of sense at the moment. Or maybe you are getting a sense of it. Okay, so if you can draw your note-taking and circling to a close. And what I'm going to offer now is a brief experience that I had, which is still was very significant for me, of an elevator that I did soon after the process. And it was to do with my vision, something I mentioned before. And so the elevator question that I asked was, what are the unidentified patterns that are getting in the way of my being able to create my vision? And the scenes that I got when I went down in the elevator, I'll describe it in a moment and ask you or give you the opportunity to help me to identify the patterns that were in that scene, and just to ask you to offer them to me, what it is you saw in the scene that I'm going to describe, because it really underlines the importance of realizing that the scene or the scenes that you have in themselves are not specific and significant. What is significant is how you were feeling, what you were thinking, what you were doing, as it relates to the question that you were asking. And so here was the scene that I got when I asked the question, what are the unidentified patterns that are getting in the way of me creating my vision? It's fairly brief, but if you want to make any notes, there is a blank page. I think on page 4, just turning back a page if you want to write down anything. So the scene that I experienced in my elevator was of being on holiday as a child, I was about 8 or 9. And what we did on family holidays was to sail. And so the scene that I got was of going in the afternoon one day with my father and my brother, of going out in a sailing dinghy. And I was excited, and also I was a little bit nervous because it was quite windy. And I was kind of happy that I was going with my brother and my father, that I felt more secure. And so we went out sailing, and it was rough, and so we were bouncing around quite a lot. And I found it exciting, but at the same time, I was scared. And also, while on the one hand, I was enjoying being present in the sailing, I was also really looking forward to getting back to the quay and for the sailing experience to end. And I also knew that when we got back, that my mum would be there, and that we would then, you know, tell her, well, I would be telling her with great excitement about the experience that we'd had. But, and also we'd be having kind of a cup of tea and cake and things like that. But I was very kind of nervous at the same time about whether I was really being manly enough, that my brother and my father seemed to be really enjoying this adventure. But for me, it was like, it was a sense of it's a bit much, and I'm doing it because I'm going to be more excited to get back and to talk about it rather than having the experience of the sailing. And so that was it in a nutshell. And just to ask, you know, for those of you who kind of get a sense of, you know, some of the, to suggest some of the patterns of behavior that you might see in that, that might be relevant to the question I asked about what are the patterns getting in the way of creating my vision. So would any of you like to make some observations or some suggestions?
Hi, Jeremy. Sorry, I haven't quite got my webcam sorted, but at least I've got the computer now. One of the things that stood out for me was really recognizing that pattern for myself as well. And it's the one about not being present, that fear was taking me out of being present to something. So disappearing into the future and or thinking about some, you know, being somewhere else in my mind other than where I actually was.
Yeah, true. I mean, certainly that was true, that it was very difficult for me to stay in the present. And also I was fearful of changes and afraid of the future. Mm. Thank you. Yeah. Anybody else like to make an observation?
Sorry.
That Jonathan, was that you?
Was in a moment. Yeah, it felt to me as if you were experiencing situations from the perspective of the people you were with, more focused on how it was for them, more exciting, more brave, more manly in that case with your father and mother, than being aware of how you were wanting to experience it.
Yeah, I mean, there was certainly an aspect of that there. Enjoyment and their needs was more important, and kind of like there was a part of it also I realized, which was that I only felt comfortable doing something exciting or potentially dangerous if I was with other people, and not feeling brave enough to do it on my own. So that was another dynamic in it. But yeah, thank you for that suggestion. And Susan, did you have one?
I was wondering if it was kind of that similar to what the other guy said, that you were used to as a child kind of pleasing and wanting to fit in, you know, and that if you would have said, you know, well, actually that wasn't that enjoyable, and you know, you're out of the, you know, the family getting praise for doing it, and you know, but not really enjoying it, you know.
Yeah, and I mean, there's a part of that that's true, and it's to do with the importance of other people's opinions on the one hand, and other people's enjoyment. So it was really to do, you know, the bottom line, to bring it back to creating my vision, that I always measured everything not for how it met my needs, but for how it met other people's needs. And also what other people thought of me.
That's fitting into.
So it was important for. Thank you.
There's consequences if you wouldn't have said, "Oh, I really enjoyed that," then you're different, and you're not being accepted the same within the family.
And as you say that, and I'm realizing, or kind of like a connection of realizing, that for me, there was something that came up at the end, which was I enjoyed the experience for the sake of being able to talk about it afterwards, rather than for the experience itself. And therefore, you know, as you're saying, it's all to do with fitting in and being able to talk about it in the right way. Okay, thank you. So anybody else have any observations in that?
I wondered if there was something around thinking that you had to do it right and do it like a man, and there was some fear around not doing it properly, so some perfectionism, so you couldn't do your vision badly, you had to do it right the first time.
Yeah, a lot of truth in all of what you said. And what was the first bit that you said again? There was something about the perfectionism is true.
Having to sort of do it the right way, do it, get it right first time.
I also wondered, associated with that, was there something about You were really excited about getting home and telling your mum about it, but you felt that, I wondered, was there something about dampening that enthusiasm in order to appear like a man? Do you know, it was like, I can't wait to get home to tell her, but actually I have to kind of push that down and not get too excited about it, because that's quite unmanly, no?
I mean, there's an aspect of that. I guess it doesn't resonate with me entirely, because I think that, you know, you're picking up a theme there, but I guess a part of it is to do with, it was easier for me to be enthusiastic talking about it than doing it. Okay. And, you know, for me, that was the connection, was I'm fine to talk about the things that I want to do, or talk about the things that I've done, because it's safer to talk about them than to experience them. And certainly in terms of being able to create my vision and lead and live my vision, that it was such an unknown, that it was, it was hard for me to really allow myself to get involved in and experience it. It was much easier to talk about, oh, I've got this great idea to do this, or I've got this great idea to do that. But actually the doing is a bit scary. But thank you for teasing that out.
So I love Jeremy.
I'm a general sense.
I just have to read this lovely comment that's come in. It basically means, Jeremy, you only want to do things if you get rewarded with tea and cake.
Exactly.
You connecting to your vision is all dependent on Linda getting you tea and cake.
Tea and cake. Thank you. Thank you, Callie. Good. So, but there isn't, you know, there's an element of truth in that as well. It's to do with getting a reward for doing it right. And so thanks. Okay, so that was just to give you a general sense of the way to pick out the patterns. So what I'd ask you to do now is to go back into what you've written down and to explore it from the point of view of the questions that you, or the suggestions that you each made to me, is to look and see, now, what are the patterns for you in what it is you've written down there? And there's a space for writing them down on page 4. And there are some hints at the top as a reminder of where to be looking in your experiences for the patterns of behavior.
How long, Jeremy?
About 5 minutes for this, thank you. Yeah, about 5 minutes, just to give you an opportunity to pick them out, tease them out.
I'll just point out that Caroline was saying she saw a dark blank space at the top when the door opened, didn't know what to do or why she was there. A lot of uncertainty, worries related to past situations of uncertainty. Just in case others have had that same thing, Jeremy, what would your experience be if someone was stepping into that, just basically a darkness and a blankness?
Okay, so, I mean, a sense, I mean, even there's some information in what I see you've written there about not knowing what to do or why you were there and the uncertainty, that there's information in that. And I guess you're talking about worries as well, that whatever experience that you had, and I guess just to really reinforce something I think I said earlier about the feelings that you may have had when you're going down in the lift, even before you get to the scene. So if that maybe gives you some information, Caroline, even just to focus in on what it is you've written there and adding in whatever else you were feeling.
And if that was the first time, then the next time they went down, was there a different?
Yes, just scene? To look at the next one as well. Thank you. Just have a look.
Sometimes
at the
information,
here.
Isn't there? There's information in the not being something.
Yes. Like
the feeling of the void, the lack, the uncertainty, rather than the scene itself.
Yeah, that's all a part of it. Yeah, thanks, Serena, for emphasizing that the whole experience and that information in itself, the uncertainty, the worry, and also seeing there that you're talking about worries related to past situations. So, you know, what is the impact of experiences from the past? Or that the decisions that you make now are based on experiences that you had in the past. And there will be an opportunity to ask more questions after you've do this writing now. More specific questions. Or do write them if you prefer, but know that you'll have an opportunity to ask them in person in a moment. And so as you write down the patterns on that page, then do firstly notice whether they're patterns that you have already identified and which ones are new ones. And particularly if they're new ones, then who did you learn them from? And identify that in the, against the pattern as well. So another couple of minutes. Is anybody who needs more than 2 minutes? Thank you. Okay, if you'd like to draw your writing to a close. And to open it up to you now, I'd be interested in hearing from any of you who'd like to share what it is that you discovered through the experience, or from anybody, if any of you have questions about what it is that is in the scene. So, to open it up to you, is anybody who would like to share or to ask anything?
Hi, Jeremy. Yeah.
Yes.
Do you want to I go first? I'm struggling to name these patterns as patterns. So I've written, this is what I think are patterns, but I don't think they're really patterns, which is why I wanted to say it out loud. So mine were, somebody has to help me. I can't be trusted to know myself. I can't possibly know myself. I'm unsafe. I'm vulnerable. Those don't sound like patterns, but I can't get the words.
Okay.
I can't be reached. I'm boxed in.
Okay. So I'm isolated.
Maybe. Yeah, that's definitely it.
Okay. And I think I also heard you...
Is that a pattern, being isolated?
Yeah, it can be. It can become, absolutely can be a pattern.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And again, sort of tracing it back to... you know, how you learned it, and always to remind you about learning patterns. It's a general statement, but you can learn a pattern directly by doing the same as your parents, doing the opposite, or by adapting in some way to the circumstances in the way that your parents behaved. And very often the ones that we find it harder to identify who we learn them from fall mm-hmm. into that third category. So coming back to yours about the isolated, I don't know whether one or other of your parents was isolated, or you felt isolated as a child, and that was your, you know, your way of being.
I think sort of, yeah. I think the pattern is a pattern of can't be trusted to know what's good for me. That's a pattern I learned.
Yes. And yeah. Therefore, did that lead you on to not being able to trust yourself?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Thank you. I just wasn't doing very well at naming it as a pattern.
Okay. Welcome. Okay, so who else had their hand up?
I did.
Patrick.
Okay. Patrick. Yeah, I'm just trying to work out what pattern is here. Can I just read something that I wrote down?
Sure.
Yeah. In the second room was a surprise party for me. I didn't know anybody there, though. I felt so happy that there was a party for me. But then everything went a bit dark and people were talking about me, or I thought they were. So I don't know. I kind of got a thing of unable to trust people as a pattern.
Yeah. And I'm wondering, okay, not able to trust other people, and... I'm also wondering whether there was an element of paranoia in that trust. This is just a suggestion, because there was something else you said, that the atmosphere went dark.
Yeah.
Can you say what was that? What was your experience in that?
Well, it just felt kind of, I had this feeling of it kind of going dark. Nothing went dark actually, as in color, but I had this kind of, it went dark in the feeling that because then I noticed people were like, I kept on looking out the corner of my eye and catching furtive looks or thought that I did.
Okay, and so what was your question? Because of maybe relating it back to the question will make it a little bit clearer.
What are the unidentified patterns that make it more difficult for me to be intimate?
Uh-huh. Okay. And so if you relate that, you know, taking your situation as you're describing it there, that what I'm hearing is that, you know, when you first went into the experience, you felt happy, but then something.
The second part of it was happy. The first part of it was I couldn't see anything, and then I turned the light on, and it was all concrete corridors, and but there was light in there. I went through into one room. I saw something like a human being scuttling across the floor. Mm-hmm. And I thought, oh, that's a bit strange, a bit creepy. And then I went into the third room, and there was a light. There was some light coming through, although it was behind bars. And then to my floor, on the floor to my right, was a chest. I opened up the chest, and it was just pure light. So that was quite a kind of dark and then positive.
Yeah, and that I hear is the potential for the change that can come. But I thought I heard you describe the mood at the party of going dark after being initially happy.
Yeah. No, it was amazing. I walked in there and everybody was like, really, they were blowing these blower things. It was just like the party during the process. And yeah. Everyone was like, I felt that everyone was really happy to see me. And then it went dark.
Okay, and so, you know, in taking it back to the question, it sounds as if the potential is in the first instance when you're in relationship that everything kind of feels very celebratory and happy and very connected, and you're feeling celebrated, but that what comes in is a sense of not being able to trust other people. And if I'm pursuing the line that I heard you talk about, that suddenly the mood went dark.
Yeah, which is kind of sounds familiar.
Can I ask Patrick, what was the question? Okay. What was the question?
What patterns it makes it difficult for me to be intimate? Okay. Or sometimes intimate.
Sure.
So there's quite a lot of information.
And so I'm just wondering
there.
whether there's an element around not trusting other people's motivations on the one hand, and also not believing that anybody can consistently be happy to be with you.
Yeah.
Does that ring a bell?
My mother. Yeah.
Like Jeremy's become Hercule Poirot now. It's definitely Miss Marple and Hercule Poirot, isn't it? It's like, you know, and the elevator bellboy. I mean, this is like a whole new movie.
Yeah. And so does that make sense, Patrick? A bit of some connections
the last one. Well, sorry, what was the last one? The consistent...
I think it was along the lines of not believing that anybody could consistently like me.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
So, Jeremy, okay. Wendy M, yes. She's had her hand up, if that's possible, just being gauging time. But I think you've got time for a few, haven't you?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Great, so Wendy.
So go ahead, Wendy.
Hi, yeah, so in my first one, I stepped out in... St. James's Park, and then I was just really happy. There was lots of people around. And I was happy to be around people. And then the second one, I stepped out in Green Park, and there I was suddenly really agitated that people were looking at me, and I was just feeling really paranoid that people were looking at me and thinking I didn't look right, and covering over my hunching in my shoulders and feeling really small. So I'm guessing the sort of patterns I went into were feeling unimportant and lacking confidence and being concerned too much what other people thought.
Yeah, and perhaps not being good enough or worthwhile.
Yeah, yeah.
And does that link back to the question that you were asking?
Well, my question I asked was, what are the unidentified patterns that stop me being in a fulfilling relationship?
Right, and so it sounds like they would connect in.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. And is the new information in that for you?
I'm not sure. I think it's quite probably quite familiar information to me, perhaps. Possibly.
possibly, and perhaps some emphasis in it in something that you have been aware of before, or a reinforcement of that.
Yeah, probably. It was quite surprising. It's been quite interesting listening that everybody's scenarios were so different, and that that my main concern was that how people thought I looked, and sort of feeling like I didn't look right. I guess it's great awareness. That was like a large thought.
Okay. Yeah, and is there something there, and I'm not sure if this is a slightly different angle on that, about not feeling that you don't fit in?
Yeah, possibly.
Yeah, because, just got to reflect on that about, a sense of it adds to something that you said earlier, I think, about, what will other people think? But if there's another dimension to that about, not fitting in. And I'm just suggesting that about that could underpin a lot of those, the other things that you spoke about.
Yeah, that's a good thing to think about. It's not something that resonates with me right now, but it's definitely something I will think about more.
Okay, great. Because it sounds as if it could be a link. So maybe just to explore that a little more. Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
Yeah. So, Andalee, there's an icon up for you. Did you want to ask something?
My goodness, an icon up for me. That's me fiddling about. No, I mean, it was helpful, but I hadn't really got anything to ask. Sorry.
Okay. It was a little, I see a little kind of red cross. So maybe you're just asking, it's just the red cross next to your name. Okay. So that was why I asked.
So anybody else like to make a comment or ask any questions? Yes. About? Yeah?
Yes.
Please. Nadia?
Tessa.
Sorry, looking at the wrong picture.
Tessa.
Yeah.
Tessa, yeah.
So, yes. So I have two questions. One regarding the experience, and once I've done it, in a post process gathering, and it was three rooms instead of two.
Yeah.
So we've done
three layers.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I assume sometimes we can do more than two, right?
You can, absolutely. So just to reinforce that now, that given the time we had available, did the two. Yes.
Okay. So it's regarding the experience itself, because I've been to two rooms. The first one was like an old toy store, and it was empty. And I felt like I'm enjoying being there, but I really need to leave fast, because maybe when I was young, I used to go to the toy stores. They let me in, but they're in a rush. So I can't really grab the toys or take my time, especially when they're big toy stores. The feelings I got into were like, I need to leave, I'm not welcomed, it's not my place to be here. And in the second elevator visit, I saw a very bizarre space with like a clown who's very freaky and scary, and it felt a bit haunted. And there was a girl, and she was like tied in a bed, kind of an exorcism, and I felt I didn't want to step in. I just wanted to leave. I don't belong. And I don't know, the patterns, I guess, was fear of the unknown, of not belonging, of wanting to do a mistake, of fear of doing mistakes. And I can't relate it to the question. That's the thing. I can't.
What was the question?
What are the unidentified patterns that are stopping me from moving with my plans?
Okay. And so it sounds to me that the number of the things, number of the patterns that you've spoken about could be relevant to that. I mean, certainly something that you said at the beginning around going into the toy shop late meant that you weren't welcome, and that you always, it also sounds like you always had to be in a hurry and you weren't able to relax. And and something that you said later on about being scared, I think, and yeah, scared, and that you were in the wrong place. I think one of the things that you said.
Yeah, being in the wrong place.
You know, that you know, all of those patterns, as you know, as I hear it, could easily get in the way of you being able to be confident in your plans. It sounds as if, and I think something you said very much to do with being in the wrong place and being scared and unwelcome suggests that perhaps under, you know, with all of those different patterns, then there is the possibility that you don't feel confident or worthwhile enough to pursue your plans. And perhaps you're feeling a bit separate and isolated as a result of that, as a result of those patterns, which also could have an impact on being able to pursue or to make your plans and to pursue them. So does that make some sense to you, that there is some link between what you experienced and the question?
Yes, it's just the only thing that my plans are, I want to move alone. So the feeling of not belonging or not welcomed, I don't know where it would be coming from.
Okay. So the feelings, you're not sure where the patterns of not feeling welcome or not belonging come from?
Yeah, especially that I'm planning to move out from my, you know, I live with my family and I want to live alone. So is it with myself that I'm not welcome to be with myself? So that's where I'm struggling.
Yeah, I mean, there is the possibility, absolutely, of not being feeling comfortable in yourself and welcome in yourself. I hear that your intention is to be alone and to live alone. And, you know, from the, are you finding it difficult to do that at the moment? If you're saying that you're trying to find the patterns that are getting in the way of you acting out your plans?
Yeah, I'm trying to find the patterns that are stopping me from actioning my plans,
Yeah, and so perhaps there is some information there, as you say, about feeling comfortable with yourself. And also there may be some information that, you know, that there's a part of you that could be undermining that by thinking that you're going to be in the wrong place by being on your own.
Okay. Yeah, that resonated well. That resonated well. Yeah.
Okay, great. Thank you. Thanks.
Thank you.
Welcome. Anybody else have any? Nadia, you have your hand up?
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
I have a similar question maybe as Wendy had, is I'm still struggling to identify the pattern. Without going into the details of what I've seen, but it's associated with feelings. So for example, in the first level, I saw the breakup with my first boyfriend. So the feelings are associated with being hurt and being rejected. But out of those feelings, I can't identify a pattern. So how do you differentiate between the feelings of what just has happened to you versus something that you've turned into a repetitive pattern?
Okay. Could you disappeared when you were talking, and to ask if you could just repeat the first part of what you said.
Sure. I'm struggling to identify the patterns. My first experience was that I saw was associated with feelings. So it was the breakup with my first boyfriend that I associate with grief and despair and being hurt. but I can't recognize a pattern out of that, as in maybe that's just what happened and I have felt that way after it, but it didn't result in me repeating okay. any behavior.
And so what was the question that you asked?
What is stopping me from being in meaningful relationships?
Okay. And so, you know, the grief that you felt as a result of the breakup with your first boyfriend, what happened in that breakup? I guess it goes a little bit deeper in just sort of noticing what was happening as that caused the breakup with your first boyfriend, about how you felt about yourself, what you believed about yourself, and what you believed about what happens in relationships and about whether relationships are possible. So is there a linkage back about what you learned from your mum and dad about relationships and whether they last, whether you can trust people, or whether relationships end in sadness and grief? So can you say a little bit more about that, about making a link back? What did you learn about relationships?
I think that they can't be trusted, that they're inconsistent uh-huh. and confusing, I assume.
Okay, so is that what you learned from your mum and dad about relationships, or what you learned in the breakup? I just need to clarify that.
No, I learned that from my mum and dad. I think the first okay. time around, I felt that the boyfriend could be my saving grace, as in the magical thinking. And I think that uh-huh. in this visualization, I feel the tremendous grief of realizing that that doesn't exist, or that that will never happen.
Right. And so again, if I can make sure I heard you clearly, that the grief that you felt in that experience could be linked to the fact that the breakup with your boyfriend kind of proved that you can't trust relationships, or correct. That relationships will work.
Correct.
Yeah. Yeah. And so that would be the core part, perhaps, of realizing that you need to put some more attention on that belief that you have about relationships, that they don't work, they don't last, you can't trust other people. Sounds to be the key part of it. And also what it sounds like you got in touch with in that experience was the grief, perhaps, of your belief being proven back to you by what happened. That here again is another example where I can't trust somebody and relationships don't work. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Yeah. Okay. Welcome. And so is there anybody, thanks for that. Before I just round up in a moment, just to ask if anybody else would like to share anything in particular.
Yeah, can I go if it's okay?
Yep, and then Ian afterwards. I saw your hand up, Ian. So who is it who just spoke?
It's Mai.
Mai, beg your pardon. Yes, Mai.
Yeah, it's May, actually.
May, so May. Sorry.
So my question was, what are the unidentified patterns that prevent me from truly being present with myself? Because, well, actually, there's no because, but I do all these things, but I'm actually not there. 100%. And the weird thing is that I've been more there than I've ever been before, but also I'm noticing that there's this weird sense that I just can't be there. Like I'm always multitasking, like I don't want to be there, you know? Anyway, so my first part of the elevator was, I walked out, there was darkness. I'm just paraphrasing. And then there was a good friend of mine who were not really friends anymore. And then it was almost as though she was there because I wanted to have a conversation with her to figure out what was going on with me, why I can't actually connect to myself that much. Anyways, she didn't say anything. We didn't really talk. And then I left. And as I was leaving, I was thinking to myself, I must have a fear of confrontation because like we haven't spoken in years and I would love to resolve the issue. But at the same time, there's not really an issue. And then this overwhelming sense that it's too impossible to handle. And then we get into the elevator and go down again or more. And the elevator door opens. It's even more darkness. Insane, like asylum style darkness, you know, which was confusing and sort of like alarming at the same time. And then, you know, there was like, you know, stuff you see in like horror films kind of, although I don't really watch horror films. And you know, nothing really like came at me or anything, but it just felt like really, really dark for no reason. Anyways, so I don't know. It just felt like there was this overwhelming sense of darkness happening. And I'm not really sure why that's happening and why that happened in response to my question. But I mean, it kind of also makes sense, but at the same time, it doesn't. Okay. Anyway, so
what was your question again, May? Just if you can repeat the question.
Yeah. What are the unidentified patterns that prevent me from truly being present with myself? So, for instance.
Okay.
No, so you go ahead. I'm just going to ramble.
And so I just wanted to come back to that, what you talked about, a sense of darkness around.
Yeah.
Which is what I understood as being one of the main features of that.
Yeah.
And so, you know, just sort of checking in on your childhood experience of, you know, whether there's an association of, you know, of the darkness of a sense of negativity or a lack of trust or a kind of an overwhelming sense that, a whole number of things about things that can often go wrong or anxiety. Right. So what was the kind of the general mood in your childhood home?
Darkness.
Okay.
Sorry, it's funny now, but like it wasn't funny at the time.
Sure, I understand that. And, you know, what it sounds like is that, you know, to make the association of that sense of the darkness underneath, which would then go to potentially feed your dark side, which is going to keep you cut off from, it's doing its best to cut you off from who you really are, from your spiritual self. And therefore it sounds as if it's, you know, this is sort of broadly to say, to put some attention, more attention on that aura, that sense of darkness as a child and what it gets you cut off from. And at the same time to put your attention on your spiritual self. And so to build up the relationship you have with your essence by listening to the I am that I am visualization.
Yeah.
And then on the other hand, putting some more attention on the darkness and the whole, that sort of overwhelming energy, it sounds like, of your childhood. So
yeah, I mean, it's not particularly that anything bad really happened, it's not that, but just it's this sense that like I'm too busy managing, or I was too busy at the age of like 6 managing everybody else's feelings instead of my own, you know. So that really created this disconnect. And as many things as I've done and as many things that I do to try and reconnect to myself, and I thought I was doing fine, that's why I felt like I needed to talk about this, because it just feels really scary all of a sudden to realize that, oh my God, wait a minute, I'm actually still disconnected.
Yeah.
You know?
And I understand, so I really hear that. And so, you know, what you can do about it is, on the one hand, to deliberately connect to your spiritual self, and also to put attention on what it is that you always used to do, and it sounds like are still doing, is putting your attention on other people's needs rather than your own. And always having, it sounds as if perhaps you needed to do that as a child to stay safe. That's the message of where to put the attention. Okay. Yeah.
And I think maybe that's a good opportunity, just checking in with timing, because I think the plan is to recycle. So to actually have everyone identify and take maybe that pattern of disconnection into a recycling.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Welcome. So I'm going to be doing, Ian, I said that I would come back to you. Okay, so if you want to catch up later on that, then you're welcome. And so, yeah, very briefly, if to ask you all to choose a pattern of behavior, I think for those of you who've shared, certainly there perhaps has been a reminder of a particular, well, for some of you, a number of patterns, but to ask you to pick out one pattern in particular, which you would like to have a positive alternative to. And we will do a very, very quick recycling. So if you can choose that pattern of behavior and then make yourself comfortable and close your eyes. And putting your attention on that pattern of behavior and how familiar you are with it and how you would like to be able to do it differently. And then remembering a recent situation in which you were acting out that pattern. Really get in touch with the detail of it. Remember everything that happened. Remembering how you felt. And as you remember it, feel yourself embodying that pattern. Really feel it inside of you and allow it to affect your posture. Maybe you slump a little bit, maybe you droop, whatever it is, noticing what the energy of that pattern is doing to your body. And then noticing where the central point of that energy is in your body and putting one hand on wherever it is. So just putting one hand on your body wherever you feel this, the energy of that pattern is most strongly located. And then using both hands, pull it out of your body. Really pull it out and get it all out of you. And then hold it in both hands in front of you in your cupped palms. And then with all of that energy sitting there in your cupped palm, feel the weight of it and get a sense of the stuff of it there. And then start kneading it between the palms of your hands, putting pressure into it, putting heat into it. And as you do so, knowing that the energy of that pattern is being transformed. And it's being transformed with a quality of your spiritual self, transformed into a quality of your spiritual self. And really feel the transformation taking place between the palms of your hands. And then very slowly bringing your hands to a halt and very slowly bringing the palms of your hands apart. Perhaps you feel a bit of a tingling between the palms of your hands. But there between the palms of your hands is a ball of luminous energy. And just notice how big it is. Perhaps as big as a football, perhaps bigger, perhaps smaller. And that ball of luminous energy contains the energy and a quality of your spiritual self. And then putting that ball of energy, that ball of luminous energy back into your body at the point where you pulled the pattern out. And keeping your hands on your body for a moment and allowing the energy of your spiritual self, that transformed energy and a quality of your spiritual self, spreading through your body up to the top of your head and then all the way down through your body, right down to your feet. And letting your hands drop to your side when you're ready. And with that energy inside you and that quality of your spiritual self inside you, go back to the original situation where you started. The situation where you were acting out that pattern. And notice how you're behaving differently this time. Notice how you feel inside. Notice any sensations in your body. Notice the quality of your spiritual self. And notice how you're behaving differently this time. And allow the scene to play out to the end. And when you've experienced acting out that situation differently, then when you're ready, taking a breath and gently allowing your eyes to open. And you'll find a spot in this workbook on page 6. There's a place for you to write down the pattern that you were recycling and the quality and the energy that you felt in your body. You'll be able to write that down in the right-hand column. And so to draw our evening to a conclusion, and I guess some reminders simply about, you know, with the patterns that you've identified this evening. For some of you, you may have identified new patterns, in which case to go through the cycle of transformation with them, to bat on mum or dad or who surrogates, whoever you learned it from, and then to have a mini dialogue, 12-year-old to 12-year-old, asking your parent where and how they learned that pattern in their childhoods. And then if you haven't already, then recycling them. And then if what you have come up with or been reminded of patterns that you've already dealt with that you realize still have quite a bit of energy, then to suggest some expression on the pattern itself, not on mum or dad anymore. And then the experience of recycling just as a reminder of a key part of dealing with patterns and doing them differently is to have a positive alternative. And one last comment. I think I saw somebody asked the question about using this new tool that you've just learned, the elevator, and to realize that what would be helpful, and I'll talk to you about this, Serena, or to the office, that when tomorrow we'll be sending out, the office will be sending out an email to recap, I understand, on this evening, and to thank you for being a part of it. And I'll make sure that there is a short script that will enable you to revisit this elevator, because you may well have realized that, yes, there may be some other situations in your life that it would be helpful to have this experience with. So, thank you for being on the webinar this evening, and I hope that it's been educational and helpful, and look forward to seeing many of you again, either on the next time I'm on the Quad Check-In or the next time that I'm on a webinar. So thank you all. Thank you.